Good evening, the time is 7:09. This is a regular meeting of the Odyssey Charter School Board of Directors. Did not bring an agenda with me, so I'll just call the meeting to order. And we'll go straight to a discussion of the, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance first. I didn't remember if I'd included that in the agenda or not. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder. So now we'll move into a discussion of the renewal application that was circulated by Denise Ricardo. And so first, I would just like to say this is my first go-around with any type of renewal application. And I want to just right off the bat commend Denise and Ricardo and Karen for all the hard work that they obviously put into this. I know it wasn't totally reinvented, but it looked like a Herculean effort anyway. And I can see all three of your fingerprints on many of the sections. So congratulations to you all. We're not there yet, but job well done thus far. We'll see how tonight goes.
You'll find us at 12:01 on Monday, on Tuesday morning, and some
fob
out there.
So I think I'll turn it over to Ricardo to start talking about the financial issues. There may be an issue that we have to discuss in executive session because it deals with a potential real estate transaction, but we'll know once we get there.
So I'm just sort of going to once again lay the groundwork, and then I will pass the baton to Karen, who has been working very closely with Denise, a big chunk of the staffing, etc., and the related costs come from the academic organization, but we've been working also in terms of with her on the projections for rent and, you know, the facilities and all of that. As you know, we've got, the budgets are current year plus 4 years projection. And we have to do both the 100% scenario and the 80% scenario that we added. And you can find it as an appendix 15D. The interesting aspect, if you see in the application, the enrollment waterfall goes 1 year beyond the financials. And actually, that enrollment waterfall will be the enrollment that would be approved. And that enrollment is being reflected here as the basis, so that what we are presenting there and quantifying is aligned. One last comment is that we managed the waterfall and the enrollment to stay within the 5% limit so as not to trigger a concurrent minor modification. We did confirm that the moment you trigger an enrollment variance in the waterfall that's in the document, you then have to also include a minor modification. And if it were over 50%, it would be a major modification. So we've stayed under the 5% or at the 5% threshold, which is 2070, versus the currently approved enrollment. So with that said, let me put the numbers up, and I do have the other spreadsheet available also for the revenues, Karen. Okay. So you just tell me when to put that up.
Yeah. Do you want to use the total page instead?
Oh, yes, we can. Sorry, thank you.
When you send the application in, you'll notice at the bottom of this Excel spreadsheet there are several tabs. When you send the application in, it's just going to be the tabs state and local, federal, and other funds. But when I do the budget and the projection, I need to see a total page.
Right.
So I'll address the total page and know that the other three pages do equal that and everything balances and what have you. So I'll talk a little bit about revenue for year zero, which is the current year. We've updated this since the preliminary budget was approved by the board. Enrollment went from 1992 to 1915. And a little change in the mix of special education, and also looking at the values that the state has for teachers and credentials. You kind of hear me talk about that every year. But there's a very detailed spreadsheet for that state appropriation line with the student mix and where we think the teacher credentials will end up. That is about 90,000 higher than the preliminary budget.
And just in terms of full disclosure, here in terms of the board, the budget attachment has 10 pages that we sent to the board. There's an additional 9 pages that show the enrollment number and the revenue source district by district. That is very, very granular, that I did not attach to your report. Okay, just in the interest of time. Yeah. But that those 9 pages, of course, have to go to the DOE and will be available once everything gets posted.
School district local fund transfers, that's also been rerun. The per pupil amounts from the local districts are now known. As of near the end of August, we got the money amounts that we're going to get for each child from each district. The 3 main districts you pull from, 3 out of the 4 main districts you pulled from, their values went up. The Christina School District went down. But overall, your local revenues have increased. I've also, in this renewal projection, included interest income of about $80,000 this year. When we do the preliminary budget, we tend not to put that in the preliminary budget for conservative purposes. So we're trying to be all in with these numbers. So those first 2 numbers, state appropriation and state school district local funds, are pretty much driven by your enrollment.
So Karen, you just answered my question, essentially. My question was a little bit broader. For everything, is there a set formula that you apply to go year from year? You just said most of it's based on enrollment. Are there any other factors that come into play that could throw these enrollment? I think enrollment, we're all kind of optimistic that it will stay at the levels that it is, and there's no indication that it's going to go down. Are there factors that could cause these numbers to drop?
Good question. Great question. So what I did in going out for the next 4 years, I took a look at what the average increase in state appropriations has been over the last 4 years, and it averaged a little over 4% every year. So I used a 3% escalation on the numbers going across for the state revenue that's per pupil and credential driven. And on the local school district per pupil amounts, it was pretty much the same numbers. It again was just over 4% on average. So I increased those 3%. I didn't push it all the way to the 4%. Part of the reason I didn't on the school district local fund transfers is over the last 3 years we've had some extra money, I'll call it, from the districts because they were catching up for things they didn't used to give us. They were relatively small numbers. I didn't want to go the whole 4%.
That was part of that lawsuit.
The lawsuit is a different matter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was that the districts were not using part of their tax, for all the districts, not just Christina, who was the lawsuit. The districts were not giving the charter schools what they call their match tax portion of their local tax rate, and it was determined that many of those funds should flow through to the charter schools. That was something the Department of Education did themselves.
Oh, okay.
And year one, it was 50%, 25%, 25%.
Okay.
And this was the last year that you're getting that buildup now to be consistent all the way. So I felt like the 3% was reasonable. The state's been anywhere from 1% to 9%. It's been all over the place, but on average it was 4%. And there are some things in the state appropriations. If you want to put the other spreadsheet up, Ricardo, I can see. There's a lot of things behind all of that, in addition to some of those spreadsheets. In the state fund, state appropriation line on there, you have those seven items in it. The state general funds are what are driven by pupil enrollment and credentials. And the other items there, tech block grant and sustainment fund are driven by pupil numbers. Minor cap is driven by whatever they put in the bond bill. Opportunity funding was something new this year. Student success block grant is for EL and low poverty students. And then the school and safety grant, which is the one I did not carry through to every year. We've only gotten that for 2 years. And then the local money includes those local district transfers, the interest, and the Christina School District settlement. A lot of those numbers are not purely driven by your student enrollment alone. There's a pool of money for the entire state, and you get your share of it. It never increases statewide. So that just tells you what's going into each of those lines. And then under that, another area on the first spreadsheet is other local, and that's where we put your aftercare money, your rent and tenant billings for the two properties, student activities, which is money collected from students for field trips and other clubs and things, and then the transportation money for Red Clay. You can see the tenant grant does change through the years based on assumptions that we've previously discussed. And aftercare and transportation, I put an escalation in there of 2%.
Even for student, you didn't put it in for student activities?
No, I just kept that fixed, but there's an offsetting expense line that equals the same amount.
Okay.
So it totally net zero in your budget.
Field trips, things like that.
Yeah.
The school and safety that you had, security that you have in column B, is that 52,000 included in the 15 million?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because if you scroll down a little bit and you look at all the numbers across the top, all the numbers are the same except there's no 52,000 in column C. It only goes up 500 bucks. You know what I'm saying?
No, the general fund.
No, the state general fund changes every year. It goes up every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, $500. But I'm saying that went up 500, so the number on the side.
500,000.
Right.
Half a million dollars.
Correct.
Okay.
But 500,000. Correct. But when I go, maybe I'm just, maybe it's my eyes. You see all the numbers there? Yeah. 8, 9, 10, they're all the same.
Put your cursor over the 15,240 and make sure. Yeah.
B7 7
to 13.
Okay. Yeah. I think what you're talking about is all these numbers don't change.
Those. I understand that, but why is the 52,000 was only used in 20?
Oh, yeah, because this is a one-time grant.
Right, but it only goes up $500,000. All right, maybe it'd be better if I just
What you're saying, this is only going up 500.
This is going up 500,000 here.
Yeah. Less than.
Okay. These all add up to this. All these numbers here are the same.
Yeah, but the top line.
Except this one went
up
500,000.
Yeah.
But this should be. Maybe I'm doing the math wrong in my head. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm just trying to overthink.
Hey, it's only going to get later and later tonight.
That 52,000 gets lost in the shuffle. Yes. Yeah. Never mind. I didn't use a calculator. Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
So this just gives you the detail of each of those lines. If you go back to the yellow highlighted spreadsheet for a second.
Oh, okay.
The only other line of revenue is federal funds, and there's no detail backup because it's only one number.
Yep.
So the federal funds, that is your entitlement for this year, 666,000, and it increases with enrollment pro rata based on number of students.
So, just to add there, as part of the conversation, there are certain assumptions right now that these projections have is continued building in a long-term tenant relationship on this campus. Both in the miscellaneous revenue, as we've seen in the other chart, And also in the cafeteria funds. When we start with $1,096,000, there's a component part there that is revenues that are currently being generated for services rendered to L'Accademia. Okay. And then we see the trend going up, albeit modestly, let's say.
Yeah, the cafeteria funds, just like the federal entitlements, are increased based on the number of students.
Yeah. I think the, you know, I think also here, when you look at the transportation, I think there's an underlying assumption here is that we're not going to see a significant change in the number of buses being acquired, right? Right? Because each bus could be generating another $40,000 to $45,000 that we acquire, should it be made available to partnership, you know, for additional revenue. So, you know, once again, I would say it's sort of on a conservative basis, but we've made no capital assumptions quite yet about expanding the transportation program here.
So any other questions that gives you the revenue picture of what escalation factors we've used?
For other funds like nonprofit grants, foundation funds, is it typical to be at zero? Or is that atypical?
Unless you have something pretty well set, they're not going to want to see that in there.
Okay.
And not just through $50,000 in every year for donations.
No, I think that's probably appropriate.
Yeah. And then in your narrative throughout your application, you can talk about what other things you plan to do, but not build them into the projection. Just like you do not see the potential $700,000 from the investors, the $400,000 and the $300,000 we've discussed, that will be in narrative through the application rather than in here.
But you do see assumptions around one of the real estate transactions that is captured.
Exactly.
And, you know, regarding St. Thomas.
Okay, we want to move on to expenses. In the preliminary budget, we've talked about the last couple of months that we have not built in costs for the negotiation. Everything's in here. We have built in costs for the negotiations. So if you were to compare this to preliminary budget, you would see the current year expenses for salaries for teachers, custodians, are higher.
Yeah, and that's assuming the contract is
Yeah.
But just looking at this, I mean, I guess you could reverse engineer and go back and see what the actual change is. So we won't go into executive session.
Yeah. Well, for me.
No.
Yeah. Well, you can't see any details.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you don't see the details.
Exactly.
Okay.
And of course, you know, since the impact is not a one-year impact. It's the four-year impact that's being considered, right?
Right.
You say so.
Yeah, we made an assumption for the final year. The number, we have to put in the FTEs or full-time equivalents for number of people in the various positions. And you can see through the years where we are increasing our number of people. It's not a lot because your student growth over the next few years is fairly modest compared to some of the past years that we've had. So you can see the classroom teachers were increasing to a year for the student enrollment coming in. We're increasing one administrator, one secretary, we're increasing some custodial staff because you are bringing on a little more square footage. And then what's included in the other line are your bus drivers, the IT specialist, and extra pay for extra responsibility payments. And food service, I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes for the state and local funds. We don't have notes for Justice Bridge. And then other employment costs, that's a fixed formula for those people that are in the pension plan. You do have some people not in the pension plan, so it is not a straight 32.33%. And then we estimate the health insurance, and since you're only bringing a couple more people on, that's not that hard to do at this point. And we just, in areas that do not have a bargaining group, we just made some assumptions to increase salaries throughout. Because we included an escalation factor on the local and state revenue, we were sure to include escalation factors on expenses where needed. Because I think that's something DOE is really going to look at.
And that for the big chunk of the cost equation, which is the salaries and the academic salaries, that's already being captured based on what is being projected should there be the ratification and the approval of the contract. Okay. And then there is the nominal escalations.
Yeah.
So,
Karen, do you see any tension in submitting these assumptions to the Department of Education without a ratified agreement?
I think the first question, if it wasn't in there, that they'd be asking is, you've got to cover those costs.
Okay. All right, good.
I absolutely think they're going to be looking for that in a question.
Good.
There's a little different mindset in reviewing the budgets than there was under some of the previous staff at DOE. We used to flatline everything, revenue, expenses, and everything. And the last couple of CSACs that I was that I attended that were for modifications, not renewals, but it's the same process. That question was asked. We want to see escalation factors in your cost. Okay. They want to see true numbers. They don't want us inflating your cash bottom line.
Right. Just because
we haven't included everything. So we've really tried to be realistic.
So people were escalating their revenue but not changing their expenses.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just they were starting to ask that question.
Okay.
Previously, everybody flatlined everything.
Okay.
You just build in growth.
Okay.
You didn't build in the escalation factors. And the argument was always, we have no clue what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, let's make I think the mindset now is let's make some reasonable assumptions. The assumptions we've made are based on trends, but they're still a little conservative on revenue. I don't think we're being conservative on expenses.
Okay, good.
I think it's a good mix.
Good.
I think historically, if you recall what we used to see and what was being presented was the typical hockey stick, right? And suddenly you see huge bottom lines that are unheard of, especially for medium-sized schools. Yeah. I mean, how are you siphoning off so much money kind of thing, or generating so much cash flow, which is totally unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, to your original question, the salary structure is T, so unless the union decides not to ratify, I think that it's a very safe and smart assumption for us to go into renewal and baking that in, because at this point, right, both sides
right. have to exactly. that. Yeah. Exactly.
But also keep in mind, I did kind of want to put a little caveat out there that, these are assumptions we're making today. As you start the next school year, things could change. So this is what we know today, but I don't encourage anybody to use this as a benchmark moving forward.
Right.
Because the state budget bill is going to come out, things are going to change, reality with the districts might be different, so your staffing model might be different than this mm-hmm. next year.
This is just based on what we know now.
Yeah, what we know today and a certain set of assumptions. Okay. Moving into the student support section, DOE groups expenses differently than you do in your budget, but everything is included on one line or another. So transportation, this includes costs other than salaries. And it's escalated each year based on the number of students increasing. Same with cafeteria, it's everything except salaries. there's your food and beverages and miscellaneous expenses, and that again is escalated based on number of students. Extracurricular is the 120,000 in the student activity revenue that we looked at, plus there's also some other extracurricular costs for athletics and things, and I am escalating that every year. Supplies and materials, again, is escalated based on the number of students. Textbooks, you know, it's hard to say right now what you're going to purchase, so we just included something in there. Professional development, we remained fixed. Your staff is not increasing that much that you should have to put a lot more into it unless something new comes along. Other educational programs include software subscriptions and licenses. Therapists are your IEP-related services. That's increased based on the number of students. Computers, there's a fairly heavy amount coming in this year, and then we flatlined it at 100,000 thereafter. Again, you're not bringing that many new students in. You're really looking at replacements in the
Karen,
future years.
Karen, what is school climate?
We don't have any expense in there.
Wait, so what is that?
If you had to bring in a consultant to work on what they consider school climate, school culture, things like that. Contracted services include substitutes and special placements if you have to send a child out to alternative school. And the other category includes travel, tuition reimbursement, equipment, rent for athletics, dues, fees, and miscellaneous costs, all categories in your regular budget, and they're increased.
Like litigation and stuff like that?
I'm sorry?
Like litigation or like...
No, that's in another line.
Oh,
this
it is
totally student support instruction.
Okay,
moving into operation and maintenance of facilities, we have our insurance costs, we have debt service. It does decrease next year because you don't have to continue paying the $120,000 every year. Utilities, there's a 2% escalator on that. Maintenance, again, a 2% escalation, same on telephone. Construction is actually based on some different scenarios that we looked at. We talked about last week what we would do to bring Building 27 up to operational status, and you see money for that in your, the 825,000, 700 of that is there, and you see 200,000 added out in that 325 number. Other than that, we just have some general like parking lot and curb repairs and things like that. That number should greatly decrease as you're not building out other space.
So the fit out?
That's what I'm just looking at.
The balance of the fit out for 23?
Yeah,
we need to add that.
Yeah, we need to, there's first thing we gotta update. Okay. I need to add some money into that $825,000 for Building 27. Renovation and equipment is where you're leasing or paying for buses, some other facility repairs and furniture. That number should, a number actually you might even be able to decrease some of that out in future years. I didn't really do that though because we haven't talked about how many buses are we gonna have to bring on in the future.
So just quickly, if I could go back, there's 700 here in terms of Building 27, and the other 200,000 is in, you know, the total that was estimated in terms of the infrastructure was approximately 900,000 for Building 27. But it gets
that's
divided.
For year four.
What?
That's for year four.
And that's driven by how the building is occupied, okay? You don't have to do all the HVAC work.
So that's all in the 1.46?
No, part of it is here, 700 is here for Building 27, and the other 200 is here. Okay, based on the...
So what's the 1.46? That's year...
1.46 includes the money that is being spent this year.
For 23.
For 23. But plus, next year, there's the central core.
Right, 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 with the spread,
you got a name.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
And there's more there than building 23.
Okay,
there's a whole schedule in the budget for that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other things. Yeah. In here, what we just said is that we don't have the 8,000 square feet of the central core for building 23, the 9 classrooms and media center and all of that. Right. We need to add that there.
Yeah, we'll add that
Ricardo or Karen, could one of you quickly orient Elias, who just walked in?
Sure.
Where, what we're looking at? And
yeah, we're right now looking at the 5-year projection, and I did put it in front. This is based on what we call 100% enrollment. There's another one that we finished on 80%. So we've gone through the sources of revenue and the assumptions for escalation that we've used on state level revenue is 3% because it's averaged 4% each year over the last 4 years. And then we started going through the expenses, and in the expenses for salaries we have included the projected settlement on the union contract. And a lot of cost categories were escalated based on the number of students to be added to the school, and then some others were adding a 2% escalation just for cost of living.
And what Karen has indicated is that the revenue, we're projecting revenue conservatively, but projecting expenses
realistically.
I think realistically.
Okay, is that the word?
Yeah.
I don't want to say deliberately.
And so this basically indicates costs of each of those entities in each of these columns, I'm guessing, is year over year over year.
Yeah, this is
year.
For the budget. The budget is a current year plus 4.
Yeah.
That's what's required by the Department of Education.
And so the 100% budget adds up to being solvent.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you already want to jump to the bottom
there.
Line.
I'm assuming the 80% budget isn't anywhere near solvency.
Okay, so Karen can get out at midnight.
You would be incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say?
So good day. Let's see. We just finished operations and maintenance, so now we'll get into administrative and operations support. And here we have our copy leases. Supplies and materials just for offices, postage, enrollment, recruiting, and then that last line, other, includes legal fees, the audit, bond consultant, public relations, accounting and payroll, grant writing, leadership consulting, and fees for things like the Delaware Charter School Network. We do have some of those decreasing over time. And that's kind of an area we'll have to, they may ask questions about that. We'll see. And then we have...
Why would they ask questions about that in particular? Do you have any idea?
Well, just because we're decreasing it over time, but there are things in there. We did include in the current year money for the required audit under the probationary status. Things like bond consultants, accounting and payroll fees, things like that should go away over time. And let's kind of hoping that our legal settles out over time also. So there is a rationale behind decreasing those numbers. They may or may not ask any questions about that.
Okay.
You never know what they're going to hone in on.
Yeah.
You did mention the audit. How much was that total?
The audit, the estimate we put in for the audit, we don't know what it's going to be yet, is $50,000.
Okay.
This is the audit
the
from the state.
Yeah.
No, this is the normal.
No, this is the
audit
special
is
audit.
Okay,
this
we put in $50,000, hoping that's high, but we'll see. It depends on the scope that ends up being.
They haven't contacted us at all about any of that, have they?
But, I think they may have.
You got an email.
Did we get an email?
You had to sign off on the memorandum of understanding, which basically said
you guys have
nothing to say. The scope is,
exactly.
The DOE has signed off on the scope. We are going to get the auditor, and then we'll send you the bill.
Yeah, and any bills that they occur doing the work besides the auditor, like, you know.
So we're praying that it stays within 50,000. If they do a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, you know, our 1 year is 2025.
Remind me to sign that, or remind me to look at it.
Yes.
Okay, so now we can look at the bottom line. So if you recall, we started the year with 4.4?
4.7.
4.7, thank you. And we are projecting to end the year at 3.1 million, so you are deficit spending. The following year, we are still deficit spending, largely due to the money that we're putting into Building 27. And then it totally turns around, and you end up with 3.3, 4. Almost 5, and at the end, it's over $6 million. So we're seeing a positive trend in the cash flow. I actually would have liked to have gotten the end a little higher, but like I said, I think this is in some ways conservative and in other ways very realistic.
And is that turnaround mostly based on increased enrollment and decreased spending on, say, facilities?
That's pretty steady.
Yeah, you're not putting out that money on capital improvements, and the escalation on the state and local revenue and increase in students. Yes, absolutely.
What is our contractual reserve bondholders, and do we satisfy that?
I don't think we run these numbers through.
No, the bondholder covenants for these numbers we have not calculated yet. Okay. Intuitively, based on what, you know, I'm seeing with where we are this year, just and we did the calculations with a net balance of 2.9. So every year we start, and we're starting with a debt coverage ratio of 1.12 times, which meets the threshold. The days of cash on hand is where we don't meet the threshold. It's at 42 days. So when you see the 2.7 and the 3.3, we're going to be very, very tight there. Okay. And then the fund balance, which is basically free cash flow, not all the cash that we have. We, over the past 2 years, we've met it comfortably.
When are we out of deficit spending? Year three, according to these calculations?
It turns around into year three.
Yeah. So year zero, which is the current year, deficit spending from last year at 4.7. And then the 3.1, you will see, pulls up as the new starting year cash balance up here. And so the end of the year, which is the 2.7 that pulls over, we're still deficit spending about 400,000. Primarily because we're putting 700,000 into Building 27 in that year.
Based on these calculations, and that's money, is that based on what is the projected use of 27? Is that rental use, us occupying?
That's, I think that's just to get it code compliant. So
yeah, it's code compliant.
Anybody can get it.
Sprinkler system.
It's preparation.
It's code compliant, but there are revenue assumptions that right now, the revenue assumptions are a status quo.
Okay. No changes to current state.
That we will continue leasing buildings 26 and 27 to tenants.
Based on
current. You know, who that might be, that's part of the longer term discussions in terms of where our current tenant and its plans lie.
Let's just clarify though, for year one here, the 27 assumption is what, that the whole thing is right now?
I don't know.
No, I want this for all of us to be clear though. What's the assumption, Karen, in year one here?
If you pull up the other revenue page,
it's assuming that the
how it changes. So we're assuming that
the first floor.
The first floor gets rented out next year.
Next July.
So on that line.
About 360.
You see the revenue jump up, and then it only escalates by the 1.5% that's in the lease, and then that 1.3 million is the second floor coming on board. which is what we talked about the other evening.
Yeah, and that's, there is potential information based on conversations that have been held, but that needs to be discussed in executive session.
I think that should be, non-payment should be a placeholder for executive session and the assumptions.
Yeah. Just to validate based on the conversations that have been held.
Yeah.
I can step out if you want.
Should we go
do it now?
Should we go in executive session real quick now?
Probably easier that way.
Yeah.
You need to motion.
I'll accommodate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there
I'll give that motion to go into executive session.
One second.
Mike, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Turn the recording.
Did I just hit?